Hello today. Welcome to the greatest year in music history, the only podcast about the greatest year in music history. I'm John.
And I'm Jen. And just in case you missed our first episode, which I highly recommend you go listen to, spoiler alert, the greatest year in music history is...
Wait, I forgot.
1997.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 97. I'm going to write that down.
So just a reminder, this is all based on peer-reviewed empirical scientific data, which obviously we're joking. We know you can't actually isolate all the best music to a single year.
Or can you? No. No, Jen, remember we did all those double blind tests and read all the reports, everything?
Oh, yeah.
You don't remember? Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was professors from Yale?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
But anyway, today's album we're going over is... The Fat of the Land by The Prodigy.
Yes.
Not Prodigy, The Prodigy. So let's get into it. Where did you first hear the band?
Yeah, I am pretty sure it was Breathe, probably on MTV or the radio.
Sure.
When I was thinking about it, I may have heard Voodoo People from the album before The Fat of the Land, which was Jilted... That one.
Yeah. We'll fix that. Yeah.
But, yeah, Breathe was my intro to them. What about you?
I think for me, it was probably the Firestarter music video. It's like, for those of you who haven't seen it, you know, it's this grimy looking guy. He's running through the sewer. It was really unique, you know, to me at the time. You didn't often see a lot of black and white on MTV, mm-hmm. especially in 97, you know, when you're a kid. But what's interesting, I was reading about the video, is that, like, apparently it has nothing to do with starting the titular fire, as the song mentioned, and that really it was Keith, who's doing the vocals on the song. He was like their hype man before this album came out.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't do any vocals before this, and then was like, oh, I should do vocals about, like, I'm the hype man, I'm the fire starter. He gets the people going, as it were.
That is so cool. I did not know that until you told me you saw that video the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
is nuts. 'Cause,
and he's not wrong.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, he does get the people going, and, you know... I don't know. That just blows my mind. I'm so glad that he was like, let me sing on this track.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because, like, seeing those music videos first and what you know of the band now, there's actually only a small handful of songs that have any vocals at all.
Right. I know.
That was, I think, the most interesting part, listening to it for the first time front to back in quite a while for me.
Yeah. Yep. Same. Same here.
And I think also I found really interesting was, I guess how would you put it? Maybe the direction or whatever. Because the guy that did it is this guy named Walter Stern.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the Breathe video also. And you're... One of your favorite videos of all time for Bittersweet Symphony.
How dare you? I can't believe...
we had to bring it up. We had to bring it up.
How dare you? For the listeners, I cannot stand that song. It was the most overplayed song I've ever heard too many times in my life.
Fascinating.
And now I'm upset.
I find it so fascinating. But enough about Bittersweet Symphony,
good.
A band we'll never talk about on the show ever again.
Great.
Back to The Prodigy. So what did you think about the album? Like, does it still rule as hard as it did back then?
Yeah. Yes, I think it does. It's just a banger.
Oh, yeah.
Through and through.
Like, front to back.
It's such I guess, the Firestarter himself, it just gets me going. I'm like... Mm-hmm. Hyped up immediately. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's definitely no skip. Like, there's I even some of the some of the tracks that kind of like let you mellow out for a little bit after mm-hmm. running a marathon for the past four songs or whatever, those still rule. It's not like some records where they have a slow song to break things up mm-hmm. that you find super boring and just want to skip.
Right.
Even the, you know, kind of slower melodic ones here are still fantastic.
I know.
All these years later.
Yep.
I think too, one of the other like big surprises for me was you take a song like Breathe, as you mentioned, like it hits really hard.
Yeah.
Like it hits way harder now with premium sound as opposed to the boombox I've used in my room.
That skipped every in 1997.
Yeah, you had to have it on an angle to keep the skip from happening.
Yeah. And all the scratches on the CD.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about some of the other songs? What were some of like your favorites that like stood out?
Yeah, definitely Firestarter as well. And Smack My Bitch Up. Can we say bitch? Can
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
As
you said it first, so we're safe.
Okay.
If I had said it first, we would have been in a hole.
Yeah.
That's a different genre.
Yeah.
Where you don't want to be in.
And then I really like Funky Shit. I have a vivid memory of being on a school bus, getting ready to go to on a field trip somewhere.
Sure.
I can't remember where.
The Alamo?
Probably. And
State Aquarium?
Yes. I had the Fat of the Land in my little Walkman and the crappiest headphones on earth. And I'm blaring Funky Shit. And I think I thought I must have been like so cool, but I bet everybody on the bus was like, is she okay?
No, you're definitely the cool kid. One thing that absolutely blew my mind about that song, it's like, think about how many times you've heard it over the years. Several dozen, probably, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yeah.
The sample in the song, do you know what that's from?
No.
It is from one of my favorite all-time Beastie Boys songs, Root Down.
What?
It is literally just a sample from Root Down.
Nuh-uh.
Yuh-huh.
Stop.
If you hear it now, you won't be able to unhear it.
Oh, great. No, I don't believe you.
We have to colliding.
Cut the recording. I have to go listen to it.
Okay, everyone, stop. Pause this now. Go to Beastie Boys Root Down. And then you'll hear the part.
No way.
And then you come back to the, and then resume this pod right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, that makes me love the Prodigy even more. You're sampling the Beastie Boys. That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
It's quite the flex.
Wow. Did not know that.
Yeah. And it's so cool to hear, you know, something like that, which they're influenced by, you know, they have the breakbeat and these other dance records that all kind of come together in this, you know, sort of punk rockish, not really at all, obviously, but like punk mentality into like this album, the way, you know, Beastie Boys started as a punk band too,
mm-hmm.
and then became the voices of a generation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I really even like random, like non-single songs, you know, Minefields, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Like these songs, the later, the back half of the album are just banger. I mean, it's banger after banger.
I know.
And it was weird, too, that, like, for me, that it took everyone by storm. Because, I mean, at age, you know, in middle school, I wasn't really listening to much other dance music. And then Prodigy comes along.
Right.
And it was like, oh, this is my new favorite album.
Instantly.
Yeah. Like literally instantly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember, and this kind of leads into if we've ever seen them in concert. But first, my cousin Melanie, which if you're listening, Melanie, I love you, miss you.
Shout out to Melanie.
She is 5 years older than me, and she was a huge The Prodigy fan. I think she may have like introduced me to them other than just hearing them on the radio as well. But let's see, 2 months after this album came out in June of 97. Lollapalooza.
I've heard of it.
Used to tour. It wasn't just Chicago. And they came to our tiny town in South Texas.
Right.
And she freaking went.
Wow.
And it was The Prodigy, Tool, Snoop Dogg, and a bunch of other cool 1997 artists. And I was so jealous. And I'm pretty sure I saw her like before and right after the show, by like a day or two. And I was like, how was it? And she was like, I made eye contact with Keith and I'm going to go print all my photos at the, you know, pharmacy later on, because she took a point and shoot, which she almost got kicked out for bringing. Disposable. Not a point and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's 97.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said it was so good. And I'm still jealous. I can't imagine. I looked up the set list and it's basically just Fat of the Land.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I mean, you can only be so jealous because we did see them live.
Yeah. Can we talk about it?
Yes.
Okay. So we finally saw them live in, was it 2015?
Or 16, something like that.
Yeah. It was at Riot Fest in Denver.
Yes, here in Denver.
And they were the one band I was looking forward to the most. So they were the headliner. And
I mean, I think the original Misfits playing.
Oh, whoops.
That might have been a different year.
Whoopsie doopsie.
I don't remember now.
No. I think
it went a couple years.
I think it was the same year.
Okay, well.
Well, but it was so good. I have videos and like they get the crowd going and
right.
The lights are so bright and I was jumping up and down so much that my foot hurt for an entire year.
A year. Okay. That's fantastic.
I probably got a hairline fracture or something. And
that's good. That's how you know it's going well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
I remember my two favorite things from that show. Because like you said, it was a headliner, so it was really late. I think it was the third day, so it's, you know, you're exhausted, they're exhausted, everyone's exhausted.
Yeah.
And I remember we found a spot kind of close to the front off to the side.
Yeah.
And there were these big, like, containers that looked like it was either storing something. I don't know. I don't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we're leaning on them. We're like, oh, finally some relief, you know? No, each one of the boxes looked like about the size of a refrigerator on its side. Fun fact, they were each a subwoofer. And I remember just like running away because it hurt so bad
when they
came on. And then the highlight of the festival, aside from the original Misfits reunion, but we don't have to get into that. Was Maxim,
yeah.
Right? Okay. He tells everyone to sit down.
Yeah, get down.
And he was like, just get down, get lower, get down, sit down. And we're like, what is this guy doing?
I know.
And then he's like, because how are you going to get up if you can't get down? And I was like, wow,
full body goosies.
Showman.
I know.
The showmanship, the energy they had.
Yes.
Even as older dudes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I have that recorded.
That's true.
Yeah. Text me. Don't text me. Text me if you want to see the video. It is so much fun. You hear him say that and then they just launch into it. I forget which song it was. Was it Smack My Bitch Up?
Presumably.
Yeah. And everybody is low, like very close to the ground.
I was so tired. I think I was sitting at this
point. And then the main part of the song comes back and everybody just jumps up and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was just out of control.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk about some of the other music videos. Did you go back and like watch them all?
Well, I tried, but Smack My Bitch Up is still nowhere to be found. Did you find it?
False.
Where?
So, like, weird old video sites like Daily Motion and stuff like that still have it.
Oh, they do?
I've watched the full uncensored version.
Oh.
Which I'm like, okay, you're not allowed to. There's no way they ever showed this on any MTV.
Even at 4 a.m.?
No. There's full on... It's not just... I remember as a kid hearing about, like, oh, there's this band video because... It has, like, drug use.
Right.
And someone gets smacked or whatever. No, it's full on, like, nudity and, like they're not going to show that on MTV.
No.
I mean, maybe in the UK. I don't know.
Or, because I swear I saw it back when it was, like, very controversial. But it was literally, like, we're going to show this twice. And it's going to be at 3 a.m. And... We highly recommend you just not stay up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole like reverse psychology. Don't touch the burner on the stove.
Right.
And you're like, but I want to mm-hmm. touch.
All the time.
And so I think I saw it, but I bet you they censored it.
Yeah.
I bet you, even though it was like two times at 3 a.m.
Yeah. Cause when I was looking it up on YouTube, I found a few like clips or something like that, or maybe it was like on Instagram or something, and they had like blurred out, but yeah, if you searched uncensored version, you will find it somewhere.
Whoa.
I think I found it on some subreddit or whatever.
Danger.
Now one really interesting, because at first I was like, what is this, you know, why is this, who thought this up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did a little bit of digging on that, and so the director of that video, his name is, I think I'm pronouncing this right, hopefully, Jonas Åkerlund,
okay.
He was in a Swedish black metal band called Bathory.
Okay.
That's like one of like the OGs, like kind of that whole Nordic black metal scene.
Okay.
And then he's done like a ton of other music videos, like Madonna, Ray of Light, but also Rammstein, but also Maroon 5, and also Lady Gaga. He's all over the place. But what's really cool, the coolest part, is that he directed this really, I thought, fun movie called Lords of Chaos, where one of the Culkins is in a black metal band, and it's based on a true story.
Did I see this?
Yeah.
Okay,
and it's based on the true-ish story of this band called Mayhem, where famously one of their... records or singles had a photo of like one of the former singer's dead corpse on it. It's real fun, lighthearted stuff. But yeah, you know, Ray of Light, death metal,
okay,
Prodigy, it's Maroon 5. He's jack of all trades, really.
Wow.
It's quite the eclectic bit of taste there, which I love.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I did go back and watch Breathe and Firestarter,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't remember an alligator being in the Breathe video.
Sure.
Very.
You'd think he'd be in the sewer in the Firestarter video.
Right? But no.
Here we are.
Yep. But they're good. I think they held up. I mean, the Breathe is very grungy, and I don't know if... Those are Maxim's real tattoos. I need to Google that.
I hope so.
Yeah, those were cool. And he's wearing those...
It looks kind of like body paint.
I bet. But then, come to find out, that's actually Keith's stomach tattoo.
Oh.
That wasn't
fantastic.
Body paint. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me the grunginess of, like, the Closer video, Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Very sepia toned.
Yes.
And just real dirty.
Yeah. Literally grungy. But and then Firestarter is black and white and totally cool. Yeah, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I think Maxim had a mohawk at one point, and Keith Flint definitely had the double mohawk. It was this...
You had a mohawk?
I had a no. It was this, like, not even quote unquote bad boy level. It was so unique and cool and different.
Oh,
that
yeah.
It there was an allure to it. I remember my cousin Melanie that I brought up earlier was like, I'm like attracted to him because of that. And I was like, oh, but it's so out there. But anyway, but
I've, and now it's quite tame. But in the 90s,
right, exactly.
Seeing that on MTV,
I know you're,
which yeah, kids now wouldn't. What is an MTV?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did find out that there were some bonus tracks I'd never heard of.
Really?
Yeah. They're mostly just like breakbeat samples or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's one called like Molotov, or the one called The Trick. It's just like a background ambience one. They also did as a B or as a bonus track, not really a B-side. I think it might have been a Japanese bonus track, but their collaboration with Tom Morello as featured on the Spawn soundtrack, which is a great song. It's called No Man Army.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to hear that. I probably have heard it because I know I've listened to the Spawn soundtrack.
Of course. But who hasn't these days?
Dang. Have you heard it?
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. Is it good? Yeah. Oh. You know, that was very... Yeah, that soundtrack was very important as a child.
Yes.
I think there was a lot of soundtracks where I was... didn't have a way to see the movie. Wasn't... We were too young to, like...
Yeah.
See stuff like that in theaters.
Right.
But the music and the artwork and stuff mm-hmm. was just so cool.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really into comics, but the Spawn movie, for some reason, probably because of the soundtrack, I was like, this thing is probably really cool. And you watch it now and it does not hold up, but that's okay.
Well, honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen the movie, but yeah. I've heard the soundtrack multiple times.
There you go. So what do you think, is this their best album?
Well, I have to admit.
I mean, it kind of has to be, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm not the best The Prodigy fan, because this might be the only album I've heard fully.
I like your commitment to saying The Prodigy, even when the sentence... It's hard to fit into a sentence.
I know. But, so I have to admit, I haven't heard the rest of their albums from front to back, but so with that being said, yes, Fatalina is the best.
But the two before this are very good.
Oh,
Prodigy Experience and the Jilted, yeah,
uh-huh.
Different, definitely different. There's it's like it's all vocal samples, so there's no
Keith singing.
There's no Keith singing. There's no Maxim. Yeah, no, this is their first like foray, I think.
Wow.
At least on the very first one, Prodigy Experience, mm-hmm. which is so cool because like technically I guess the album's probably called Experience, but when you see it on the record and we have the vinyl, it says The Prodigy Experience.
Oh,
it's just black text on a white plain background.
Too good.
So legit.
Yeah.
Early 90s, just wild,
mm-hmm.
wild dance tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's the standout, but I mean... for me, yeah, it's like that's comparison to the other work. This has the most or the only real, you know, hits per se.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like Spitfire.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which album that's on. And I like
That was one of the later ones. Yeah. One after this one, maybe this two after this one. I'm not sure.
I think one after.
Yeah.
Fat of the Land. And then I know I like another song called Omen. I don't mm-hmm. remember which album that's on. So they had, like, I guess bangers that may have been singles after mm-hmm. Fat of the Land. But those are good. Highly recommend those. I'm sure they have more bangers. I just didn't take the time to go listen. It was after 97.
That's true.
Yeah, I could go check them out now.
Well, it depends if we get to those years.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we talked about hearing these songs over and over and over. But, I mean, honestly, for me, I wouldn't say this was ever overplayed.
Oh, yeah. No. Never. That's because I listened to the whole album a lot mm-hmm. on my little Sony Walkman.
Sure. Shout out to Sony.
Yeah. Can I say that? Will we get shut down?
Yes.
Oh. On my walk... human. And It was so good. Not overplayed at all.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much else we can really talk about it. I mean, it's just, it so holds up as like one of the best dance records from that decade, really, for me. I mean, if I had to give it a rating, I'm going 97 out of 97. Like,
whoa.
No skips, no notes.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Yeah. Even 20, however many years later. 30? Good Lord. 27 years later?
Wow. Shut it down.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't talk about it anymore. No, but I would say I was going to give it like a 92 out of 97.
Wow.
Only because there are a couple songs in the middle that I could potentially skip. But
name them. I'm just kidding.
I do want to give or pour some out for Keith.
Oh yeah.
I know. I was so sad. I think I yeah.
Yeah, that was really tough.
That was tough.
And it's been a few years now, but I think it was maybe a year or two after, you know, we had seen them live, and like,
I know.
It's just wild to hear something like that and stuff.
Yeah, it makes me grateful that we did get to see them with him. But Maxim and Liam are out there.
Yeah.
They're touring right now.
Mm-hmm.
I follow Maxim on Instagram. He just posted something earlier today that he met the Fonz at the airport.
Amazing.
Just by chance.
Fantastic.
I know. I bet the Fonz is like, who? What? Sure. Yeah, I'll take a photo.
Hopefully he had the hair and the body paint and the contacts and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shirtless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if the Fonz is like, oh, yeah, I have your CD in my bag.
Yeah. Can you autograph?
Can you autograph this?
You can't autograph. Hey, kids, you can't autograph an MP3. Am I right?
But yeah.
So I think that might do it. Any final thoughts on the record?
No. Those first like four tracks are just the best it can get. 97.
All timers.
Yep.
For sure.
UK garage.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this week's episode. Make sure to follow us on social. Just search for Greatest Music Pod. We're on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought about the album. We want to hear what your thoughts are. Does it still rule? Is it a no skip? And yeah, how it holds up for you.
And make sure to give us a rating and a follow on Spotify.
5 stars only.
Yeah, we're only taking 5 stars at this time. Apple Podcasts, your other podcast platform of choice, we should say. And stay tuned for next week, where we'll be covering Around the Fur by Deftones.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.